Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real.
Oh, yeah.
It's the new
spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM?
Spirituality.
It's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and whew, what a great show we're going to have today. We're having a returning guest, James Goy, and one of the things I don't know if my audience knows this, but every guest that I have doesn't return to the show. and it's just all it is about like energy and flowing and flowing in like energy. So James Goy Jr. was a wonderful guest of a few months ago. I don't remember how long ago it was, but we asked him to return, and here he is, James Goy Jr. on Reality Spirituality. But before I introduce my guest, I would like to share with my new listeners just what the hell the show is about. And indulge me for a second. Indulge me. Close your eyes and remember a time when you experienced an indescribable moment, a moment that connected you with the energy that creates worlds, an unforgettable moment, a moment that you felt the power of creation inside of you. A moment where you were connected to the universe, connected to heaven, connected to earth. And when I've had these moments, I start crying. I'm emotional and I start crying. But it's a cry of, it's an overwhelming feeling when I am connected, when you connect to the universe and you have those moments, it's almost too much to bear. And this show, Reality Spirituality, is all about creating and experiencing more of those moments. More of those moments in your month, more of those moments in your week, more of those moments throughout the day. And I believe, and when I say I believe, it's because I've been doing the homework and I've been doing the work and I've been experiencing all of the gifts that the universe drops in my lap, quite frankly. I know, not believe, I know those moments can happen more often and more often. In other words, I don't have to wait, well, maybe another month or two or three. No, I can feel those moments a lot more frequently, and that is what this show is about. You know, we are all energy, and with that said, energy, we attract like energy, and we attract how we're feeling. We're attracting exactly what we are emitting. And one of my favorite things to attract is happiness, is peace in mind, is contentment, is trusting, is surrendering, is knowing that everything is in perfect order. And that's what Reality Spirituality is about. You are welcome to call into the show, area code 646-564-9619, area code 646-564-9619. And with further ado, we're going to bring on James Goy. And let me just give you a little introduction. James Goy Jr. is the author of How to Attract Money Using Mind Power. His book is a serious work in which he quotes 160 other books. This U.S. edition is available worldwide through Ingram Book Company, and a second English language edition is available on the Indian subcontinent through Indra Publishing House, India. I'm going to bring on James. And James, welcome to Reality Spirituality, and I'm so glad you decided to come back to the show.
Yes, certainly. I'm happy to be here. We had such a great time last time. How could I not come back, right?
Yes. Well, you before the show started, you said that you reviewed our last interview, which was great. Thank you for the preparation. And there were a few books. Can you give us a little bit of introduction of how and why did you feel or were inspired to write this book?
And I would direct people back, if they like this interview, go back to that first one, because there's a lot of good stuff in there, and including my, you know, my background or whatever. But briefly, I will say that, you know, when I first, as a young man, I first started finding my these books on mind power and metaphysics and spirituality, and the subject really gripped me. And from the first word I read, I just absolutely knew that I had found something that was true, something that no one I had ever known for, you know, 20 or so years previous had ever even mentioned to me. Like, I didn't even know this whole realm existed. And so I just started collecting up books everywhere I went and reading, and within a few years I was teaching these, you know, concepts of attraction, manifestation, mind power to small groups around San Diego, you know, like the metaphysical bookstore circuit, and over in Sedona, Arizona for a while when I lived over there. And one thing I found, though, which led me to writing this particular book, is that even with, you know, long-time students of metaphysics, it was seemed to be a universal theme that they had a problem applying these principles and techniques to money specifically. And so I really was intrigued by why is that, and also by how can I help these people to get past that particular block. And because they know this stuff, or, you know, some people do, some people don't, but especially the ones that do, they already use it, but they're having a problem with money. And so I wanted to address that specifically, and pretty much, you know, I think I've made myself the go-to guy for straight answers on that. And my book is the go-to book for just a concise manual, which it really is. You can read it in a sitting or two, and you can know absolutely what you need to know. And then you'll know what you need to do to get what you want to get financially and in all areas of life.
Okay, so let me go back to what you just said, which is really important. So why? Why specifically was there a problem with attracting money? Because I have my own beliefs about this, but I would like to hear yours.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's so many reasons. Some of it is... Well,
give me the top five.
Top five. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. One of them is definitely programming, you know, subconscious programming from early life and on up. You know, we just have heard and all of this, you know, stuff, and we have deeply embedded, long-standing subconscious beliefs about money itself and how hard it is to come by and things of this nature. We also have programming of long-standing having to do with our own self-worth and our own abilities, like our worthiness of having more, of having the life of our dreams, of having a lot of money, and also our ability to actually put our hands on that money, to attract that money, and to hold on to that money. So that's another very – I mean, just that in itself will keep a person from ever getting out of the starting gate in life, is a lack of self-confidence, is a large part of that. And let's see, top five. So another one is that for – you know, it was one thing they would come to a class and hear me talk, okay? That was a couple hours out of a week. It was 168 hours of the week. So for the whole rest of the time, they're hearing from the people they know, friends, family members, coworkers, the media, everything they hear seems to really say that, you know, you got to, you know, work hard, go to school, get a job, fit in, don't make waves, you know, make the boss
conform,
love you.
Conform.
Then you,
mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, conform, and you can survive. And so there is this massive daily reprogramming and enforcing all of the lack and limitation thinking. And it's daily, and it's hours on end, and it's everywhere the average person turns.
Yes.
Let's see. We could call number four just a misconception about money itself, and specifically things like deeply embedded beliefs about money that tell us that if we get more money, then there's going to be something wrong with us. You know, beliefs and misconceptions like there's only so much to go around. So if one person has a whole lot, that automatically means someone else has to have less now. That's a ridiculous idea, but people really believe this. Another thing, money is not spiritual. Spiritual people are poor because they don't care about money, and their reward is in heaven. Rich people don't care about spiritual things, and they're, you know, single-minded, and therefore they are decidedly and by definition not spiritual. And all of this, we could talk about it or not, but it's baloney. I mean, mm-hmm. It doesn't hold up under the light of scrutiny. Also, that rich people are bad. In other words, the more money you have, the more suspect you are, or I have to be of you, of how you got your money and where you cut corners and who you stepped on the way up and how you, you know, went against your own moral standards and lowered them.
Well, you've brought up a lot of really, really good points, but it's interesting because we are all as different as our fingerprints. We are just like the grains of sand, and everyone is specific in their beliefs or beliefs about money. And I understand the general, what you're saying, the general, generally defining, but all of the things about other people and rich people and poor people, I don't believe any of those. So I'm just saying that some people believe that and some people don't. One of the things I want to say, though, is money is just energy. Money is energy like everything else. Everything else, it's just the form of energy. And with that said, I definitely get this deep subconscious feeling of being taught or being conditioned that you have to work hard for money or it's difficult to get money or all of these deep, deep subconscious ways of thinking. How do you, let's forget money for a second. How do you get into the subconscious and get those beliefs that are not serving us? How do we get rid of those subconscious beliefs, and can we?
Okay, we definitely can. And before I go into that, I just want to add number five to the list.
Oh, I didn't know I stepped on your number five. Okay,
yeah,
keep going.
That's okay. I didn't know if I'd be able to come up with five, and now that I have. But anyway,
okay, good.
It's just that number five, I will say, can be called the fact that people don't apply, generally speaking, do not apply the mind, power, and metaphysical techniques specifically to money because of numbers 1, 2, 3, and 4. It's taken all the steam out of them to do so. So there's no daily, concerted, continuous effort in that direction. They've given up. And so that's number five, and that's because of number 1, 2, 3, and 4 leads us to number five. They just don't do the work for those reasons because they don't think it's going to be fruitful. But money is definitely energy. It's vibration. And we are always emitting vibration. And we can look at these, you know, five things, roadblocks here that we just talked about, and all of those are energy. They are vibration. Consciousness is in motion. And everything we talked about, 1 through 5, is of a low vibration. If it's of lack. It's of effectively repelling that which we think in our conscious minds we would like to have. On the one hand, we love to have all this stuff and this money and this wonderful life of expression and freedom. On the other hand, we really do everything we can to block that from coming to us, almost as if we'd planned it, almost as if it was the plan. I mean, that's how that's how strongly they work against themselves. It's almost as if they planned it out and are carrying out their plan perfectly. And interesting, right?
Yeah, it is interesting for a lot of different reasons because I definitely understand there is a feeling of abundance, and you want to throw money in there as being abundant also, let me scratch that. Being abundant, having abundance, being full, feeling full, feeling that you have everything that you need, everything that you and I'm not going to use the word desire, but everything that you need, and you have it already, you have it in this moment, really has nothing to do with whether you're or not you have money. In other words, this consciousness of the universe has supplied me with everything, and because I believe that the universe does supply me with everything that I need. And if I have money right now, it's because of what the universe has given me. And if I don't have money right now, it's because of what the universe has given me. For whatever reason, I have it or I don't have it, and it's for the reason I don't have it is because there are lessons to learn. There's lessons to learn, or my evolution is coming because of this not having money at this particular time.
Right. Well, I would like to say that you are the universe.
That's okay. Right.
There is only one field, in my opinion and opinions of many other mystics, quantum scientists, metaphysical teachers. Right. There's only one field of consciousness. There's only one being.
Mm-hmm.
And we are expressing from every angle of ourselves. Okay, mm-hmm. And we can, you know, talk about how and why we got into all of this. But really, I have come to the understanding. I like to think of it as an understanding that I have, been blessed with having, is that we really make up the rules. It's like in quantum physics, when you study enough quantum physics, you start to realize that science can actually be creating everything it discovers, even planets. In other words, it's a viable principle when you understand quantum physics that a certain planet or asteroid that we discover may not have even been there before we discovered it. I mean, that's how integral the observer and observed connection is. And there's no separation. So the meaning we ascribe is largely what we ascribe. Okay, because remember, it's like the universe does this for me and that, but really, I am doing it for myself through the universe. And now, if I think that if I'm poor and suffering and all, it's because there's lessons I have to learn and all this, then that's what I've created to be true for me.
Mm.
But that's not necessarily true. But the other thing is, you know, maybe the lesson, it can be as simple as, you know what? I don't like this. Maybe the lesson is, I don't like lack. Therefore, I am going to turn my consciousness and my vibration around to attract abundance. And you were talking about having this feeling of abundance and freedom and expression, and, you know, we have happiness and joy and we have good people in our lives and all of that, and we think of it as, you know, total abundance. But is it total freedom? Because if without enough sufficient money, because let's just say that an old friend comes to town and you would love to take them to the nicest restaurant in town. You haven't seen the person for 25 years. You simply do not have the money. So here you have a desire that you'd like to express this love and affection and appreciation for a certain person, but because you don't have a few hundred dollars of this stuff we call money, which is only energy, it's only a thought, it's only an idea, it's not backed up by anything. No national currency on the planet is backed by anything real. Just because you haven't been able to attract those little pieces of paper or a couple of, you know, digits in your bank account, you're not able to express freely. A new book comes out by A new book comes out by one of the big spiritual teachers.
Mm-hmm.
It's $30 in hardback. You know how much $30 is to a lot of people? A lot of money. So they're not free to go buy that book. So in modern society, where all of the wheels basically are greased with money, it's hard for me to really define total abundance without sufficient money for a person to act on basically, you know, most of at any given point their, you know, good and healthy desires. In other words, if you are being thwarted in your ability to express because of lack of money, then you do not have an abundance of money, and you do not have an abundance in one of the main integral parts of modern life, which is money, because money equals freedom, equals time, equals expression, equals giving, equals life itself. Safety, health, I mean, everything goes back to this in modern civilization.
Okay, this is so good, this is so perfect, because I don't believe money equals freedom. You said something earlier about, and, you know, first of all, thank you for just expressing it, because I love our audience to have a couple of different perspectives. I believe that I was taught that money equals freedom, and you said something earlier about having abundance. Well, that's just, money equals freedom is not a universal, for me, I'm not, this is just what I believe. I don't believe that is equals freedom, because freedom comes from within. The feeling of freedom or the how I feel free has nothing to do with anything externally. My connection with the universe, my happiness, my peace, my contentment has nothing to do with anything external. And so I don't believe that money equals freedom. I believe that the universe, connecting to the universe, I will be free. And because in this society, in the United States, of course. But you go into any other culture, especially third world cultures where they're fishing for a living, and, you know, I mean, they're fishing for a living, they're fishing for their daily food, or they, you know, have to kill wild animals and they live in huts. You go over there with a piece of paper and that money, they're going to look at you like, this isn't valuable. This isn't how I'm free. But all it is, and I love the fact that you are expressing it, because a lot of people believe that. I'm just saying I don't believe that money equals freedom.
Right. Now, somebody told me many, many years ago, they said you can go to the furthest reaches of the planet, basically, out in the jungles and stuff, and you will find somebody that has money in their pocket. So even in, I mean, some of these countries, you know, they gather up whatever it is, and they carry stuff on their heads for miles just to make a nickel for the day. So even people
in
those.
I get that.
Okay. But people that are close to life like that, and they can fish for their food, and they're wealthy, and if they don't need money really to survive and to be happy the way they've lived and their ancestors and lived, more power to them. But let me give a personal example of what I'm trying to say by freedom.
Perfect.
And there's two important points I want to make.
Mm-hmm.
And one is, I told the story last time on the show, so I won't tell it again, but I was $50,000 as a household and credit card debt,
mm-hmm.
quit my job to focus on attracting the money because I was going further out of control each month and was going to lose my credit cards, basically, to shorten the story up.
Mm-hmm.
But most of that, the years up to that, so, you know, from 20 years, from really I started working when I was 15, 16 years old, I started working. I had a paper route way younger than that. But let's just say I started working when I was, you know, 17, which I did, and then to 48. So 17, 27, 37, 47, so more than 30 years. For more than 30 years. Oh, and by the way, when I quit my job, I focused on Mind Power. You know, the end of that story is that I attracted 2 six-figure windfalls into the home within a 3-month period. That was, you know, probably 8 years ago maybe or whatever it was. It was about a year or so before I published my book, which was in 2007. So that's in 2006. Now, from when I started working for the next 30 years, I was not free to not go to work. I had to go and do things that I didn't like doing, in places I didn't like being, with people I didn't really care for all that much. you know, as a general rule,
mm-hmm.
There was always good people too, but they weren't in the you know, abundance that I found. I was not free not to do that because I had to eat, I had to pay rent, I had to keep gas in my car. Since I made that decision and I quit my job at the lowest financial point of my life, I have never had to go back to a job. I have been, since 2006, I have been free to not go to places I don't want to go every day. Without
mm-hmm.
money, that would have not been possible. And another thing I want to say, though, you make a very good point. We need to feel free inside, and it's a feeling of abundance and freedom and all of this. And I developed that, and it mm-hmm. outpictured in my physical life. Money just flows to me in miraculous ways. And that's, so everything you said there is exactly right. But if a person thinks that they have that beautiful personal inner vibration of abundance and full freedom and it's all inside, but it doesn't reflect on the outside, in other words, 1 or 5 or 10 or 15 years later, they're still working a job that they wouldn't be working if they weren't being paid for it, and they would rather be doing something else, and most people would, because when they win the lottery, they quit work the next day. Then there's a disconnect between how free they believe they are in the inner world of consciousness and belief and feelings and how they really are, because you cannot have an extreme powerful level of inner freedom and abundance and just, you know, all of the good in without it eventually at some point reflecting in the outer. So I think we're probably saying the same thing, only in a different way. In modern society, I mean, I can be as free as I want in my mind and is abundant and all that, but if I don't have any money, I still have to get up and go to work the next day. And so until I create the actual money in this dimension, which isn't even real, it's pieces of paper, it's numbers on a bank statement,
mm-hmm.
okay? It's an idea. And until I have that, you know, most people, this is Sunday morning, most people listening to this show, I would imagine, have to get up and go to work tomorrow. And they would rather not do it. So no matter how abundant they think they're feeling inside, their outer picture has not caught up to the inner picture, and the inner picture is not yet strong enough. The belief is not yet strong enough. The expectation and the absolute faith is not yet strong enough, because when you cross that line, the thing appears. You can have a couple of six-figure windfalls in a 3-month period. You can get out of $10,000 in credit card debt in 4 to 6 weeks. That's another story I told the first time around, so I won't tell it again. So there's I see a disconnect between what we think our real inner state is and what our outer state is, because I tell people, really, you really want to know what your inner state is at this moment? Look at your outer conditions, with the caveat that, yes, it does take time for the outer conditions to catch up. But if you think you've been in a certain mindset for 15 years and yet you're still living a life, you know, 40 hours a week that you would really rather not, you know, that, you know, most heart attacks happen on Monday morning. I mean, just everywhere you look, these jobs that we don't like are destroying our souls and our health.
Well, let me butt in a little bit. Let me just butt in a little bit. Because one of the things that I've learned is I cannot know what anybody else is feeling, or I don't know what anybody else is experiencing. I really don't, unless I'm in their skin, unless I am that person. So I don't know that I don't know about anyone else but myself. So I'm only going to speak for myself. Freedom, and I totally understand what you're saying. I totally understand and get that you believe, and you know that your outer state reflects your inner state. So I get that. My focus, freedom for me is a state of mind. Freedom is a state of mind. And this is another thing that, this is a real tough one. Well, I believe that everything was created before I even got here. I am not going to think that I have the power to do anything that the universe doesn't want to happen. In other words, and I'm using like strong statements, but say the universe, which is the most powerful entity. Let me back up a little bit. There are things in my life that if it was up to me, would not have happened. So with that said, for me, I don't have any control over what happens to me. I have control over my perspective. I have control over whether I think that money brings me freedom. I have control over thinking that money, that my freedom is my state of mind. I have control over my responses. I have control over my behavior, over my words. I definitely have control over my vibration. And the universe has all of this set, all of this planned out. It's already done, set. My job is to resist none of it. And this goes back to what you were saying earlier about this subconsciously. Resist none of it. Let everything flow. Let everything flow through and enjoy the ride. And enjoy the ride regardless of having money, not having money, homeless, healthy, not healthy, in jail, legs cut off, whatever it is, enjoy the ride. That's what I think. I don't have control. My ego would say that I can control or I can bring into, but what I know is that I can experience all of it. I can experience having a lot of money and losing a lot of money. I can experience having my mother disinherit me, and I can experience it either being okay with it, flowing with it, or not. So everything that happens to me is happening and it has been created already. So all I can do is sit and just enjoy the ride. I said that already, so there.
Right. Okay. Well, that's, you know, that's a very scary, to me, it's a scary statement you made, is that you have no control over what happens to you. I mean, if I believed that, I would still be in the first job I ever had as an adult. I would still be working in a car wash in New Jersey because I never would have wanted anything more. I would have thought, well, the universe wants me here. Now, unless this business closes or the guy fires me or something,
well,
I'm not going to...
Well, let me back up. What I'm saying is not that you don't have any control to do anything different. I am led by what the universe inspires me to do. In other words, there's nothing that, in other words, I'm inspired by the universe to make a move, to make a shift, to make a change. I'm inspired, but I have control. I don't know, but I understand what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
Right. Well, let me try to make another distinction. First of all, you know, I have a chapter. I think we talked about it last time. No, maybe we didn't get into it too much.
Mm-hmm.
Intuition. Now, the act is what it is, and the motivation behind it or what the reality is what it is. But it can be misinterpreted. So let's say a young man gets out of school. Let's say a person goes to school to become a lawyer, and people assume, well, he's really interested in money. And he's going to get into the system, he's going to be an attorney, he's going to make a lot of money. There's ego. So ego is moving him through his life to make these decisions. But what if it's not ego? What if it's the universe moving him in that direction? Because he's going to end up being one of the most powerful civil rights attorneys that has ever graced the planet or something. And see, I don't make a distinction like most people do between the inner and the outer. The inner is the outer. I mean, the inner is all that's real. And all the mystics will tell you the outer is just illusion. It's just the report card. It's just a reflection back to
right.
us.
I
so
agree.
That's why, and that's why intuition is such a strong part of what I teach, because I don't see me as having these desires, and so I'm moving forward in my ego mind to have all of these things and create all this stuff I want to create. I have the experience of the universe moving me in these directions that I can have the most expression and express most what another thing from my book, another chapter, Right Livelihood, where I can be moved by the universe into the avenues where I can be of the most service to the rest of mankind. And the universe is always tending towards abundance, towards freedom, towards expression, towards happiness, towards growth. And the only way it can do that is by constantly trying from inside. It's everyone. It's the guy taking the tolls on the freeway who would just dream of being an artist, you know, or something, but he just doesn't do it. He drinks beer at night and shoots pool with his buddies on the weekends. But the universe wants him to do something. We all have those inner promptings. And so when we move in the direction that the universe is moving us, and again, I don't see a difference between the inner and the outer. So actually, in my mind, pursuing your dreams, and, you know, I don't look at it as my desire. I look at it as the universe is desiring through me. The universe is expressing through me. That's the experience I have. And that's why
I agree with that.
And then when I look out and I see all of these synchronicities falling into place and people, you know, literally giving me money. I mean, there's stories I can't tell yet because I have to protect other people's privacy, but involving, you know, a multimillionaire philanthropists and a chance meeting in a grocery store. I mean, unbelievable things. When you are in the flow, you absolutely know, you don't even have the experience almost of being human. It's almost like you're just trying to stay out of the way of what is unfolding before you.
I agree with you totally, and that is exactly what is happening to me, and it's happening to me right now, but I'll even say this. It has been happening to me all of my life. This when you tune in, when you are connected to the universe, and just like you said, all of these miracles, synchronicities, whatever it is, whatever you want to call it, is happening. And it's like get on the ride and enjoy it.
Right. And let me go back to one other point that I haven't made in this show, is that people assume, but it's a false assumption. I don't actually advocate.
They assume
something about me, but it's a false assumption. And that is that they assume that I think everyone should be rich. They assume that I think everybody should have more money. they assume that I think everybody should have a lot of money and that it's their duty and all of this stuff, and none of that is true. If a person comes to me and says, listen, I am happy, I love my life, I'm happy or contented, or I've resigned myself to my job and I feel that's where I can be of the most good even though I don't particularly enjoy it or whatever, and I can work for the next 17 years, I got it all figured out, I'll be able to retire and all of this, and they're happy, that is fine for them. But if they say, I want something different, I want something better, and there's the old saying, it's a cliche by now, but to, you know, get something you've never had, you have to do something that you've never done. And I would add to that or you know, refocus it and say, to get something you don't have or you've never had, you have to think in ways you've never thought. And so that's the whole thing. So people who don't want more money or who are happy and they already feel abundant and they don't mind getting up and going to work tomorrow morning, then more power to them. They're already where most of us work, you know, our whole lives getting. And one reason is because we keep raising the bar, you see, because, you know, one person's goal may be to publish a book. You know, I worked for decades with that dream. I wrote books and then, you know, abandoned them, and I have all these unfinished books. And finally, I got this one little small book out after 9 years on and off of working on it and hundreds of books I read to collect the quotes and all of this stuff. And now, it took me 9 years to write the first book, and now I've got several, you know, like a half a dozen or more written that I'll be publishing soon. So unless we have, see, there's two camps. There's the guy, the guru, yogi guy in the mountain living in a cave who says, you know, the way to spirituality is to get rid of all desire. And then there's the other camp that says that without desire, nothing is going to happen. I opened the first chapter of my book with a quote by Robert Collier, The Secret of the Ages, 1926, and he says, desire is the great moving power of the mind, that which excites into action the will and powers of the individual. It is at the bottom of action, emotion, or expression. I never tell people, you should desire this, you should desire that, but what I do tell them, if you do desire this thing and yet you don't have it, it's not because the universe doesn't want you to have it. It's because, in fact, I would argue that if it's a good thing that'll bless you and other people and add to freedom and abundance and joy and health, that it's actually the universe desiring through you. And so I tell people that if there are things that you really desire and they keep bugging you, nagging at you, then I want to help you to learn how to get those. If you're perfectly fine with your bank account and your job, then more power to you. Live a happy life. You're you know, ahead of the game already if it's truly that, if you just haven't given up and resigned yourself to it. But if you're truly happy with it and truly don't want anymore, then fine, more power to you.
Now listen, Mr., just listen for a second.
I will definitely do that.
It's not just one or the other. I've heard this argument about, okay, the spiritual people that go in the mountains and they give up everything, and that we're saying the same thing, but we're coming from two different perspectives. You're not me, and I'm not you. So I'm understanding what you're saying. And I don't know if I even have the words to describe clearly what I mean. I'm doing the best I can. But there, and this is for me, there can be nothing external. I do not believe, for me, not for anyone else, but when I say external, I'm talking about having a, let me just finish my point. Being at peace with whatever happens and whatever doesn't happen, that's my number one priority. My number one priority is connecting, living connected to the universe. And when I say happiness, I mean this inner contentment. It's more than just being happy. It's setting my personal thermostat to a contentment. I mean, just just being content, whether I'm in a jail cell, whether I'm in a prison, whether I am in a concentration camp, whether I have a lot of money, whether I don't have a lot of money. It doesn't. My external circumstances do not reflect how I feel inside about myself, about where I am, about, in other words, it's nothing external. And the interesting thing is, take away anything external. What if I'm confined to a bed? What if I have this sickness and I'm confined to and I can't get up, or wheelchair? Where am I internally? Am I going to be okay? Am I going to be content? Am I going to feel at peace? Am I going to still be connected to the universe? Having money, don't have money, I have health, I don't have health. That's where I'm coming from. There is nothing external that I will allow to either break that foundation, disconnect me from the universe. That is, number one, is my priority. Now, number two priority is to let the universe, allow the universe to work through me, to allow the universe to direct me, to allow the universe to inspire me. What am I doing? Well, my book is going to be finished in the end of March, my first book. I wrote a chapter in another book that was published, but my own book is going to be published. But am I, No, I was inspired to put all of this stuff together over years, and now all of a sudden it's coming together. And same thing with speaking. In other words, allowing the universe to work through me, and whatever rewards I get, whatever I get externally is just icing on the cake. But I don't need anything external to have that connection to the universe.
Right. This is my view on it. When it comes to reality, basically, all we have is what we can perceive, and we don't really perceive reality directly for the most part. People make a distinction, internal and external, in here and out there, my inner state and the outer state, and see, I don't make that distinction. There, in my philosophy, in my way of looking at things, there is nothing external. This is the biggest in my view, this is the biggest lie we've told ourselves. It's the biggest negative program that there is something outside, that there is something external to us, that there are other people, that events happen around the planet and they have nothing to do with me. I'm not connected to them. And what I want people to know is that there is nothing external. There is nothing external. We are inside our own minds. We are daily, as we read the paper, hear the news, drive on the freeway, we are seeing into the very depths of the interior of our own souls. There is nothing outside. And when we start to get that perspective...
Okay, I'm open. I'm listening to you. I'm open.
Okay.
I'm keep talking,
well, good,
honey. Keep talking.
All right, so when we get to that state, then when we see everything is blended, then we no longer need to say, well, I can have all of this over here, even if all of this terribleness goes on over there. I've been saved, for instance, from horrendous accidents, people trying to, you know, pull guns on me in divine intervention ways. I mean, ways that defy all logic, reason, laws of, you know, momentum and inertia and all of that stuff. Okay.
As we all have been. I mean, I can give you a lot of life and death. Go ahead. Keep going.
Right. So rather than having spent all these years developing myself into a person who, if I were, because I could have been, believe me, bedbound or dead, but definitely in a wheelchair or something, in this one motorcycle accident I had in my early 20s, and I had a total divine intervention that saved me from that. I have spent my life developing myself not into a person who, if I ever had a horrendous accident and lost the use of my limbs and was a vegetable, not a vegetable, but a, you know, non-moving human being in a bed, that I could still be happy. I have not develop myself into that. I have developed myself into a person who that can never happen to. That can never happen to me, ever.
Okay.
It is not even a possibility. Mm-hmm. It is not even on the radar. It is nothing I have to prepare for or think about. What if? I have had so many experiences where the universe, and here's my bottom line belief about this. The only things that can happen to people are the things that the universe allows to happen.
That's true. Other people
who have accidents like mine, they are mangled. They do lose a limb. They are, you know, messed up for the rest of their lives. Why? Because that's their reflection. That's who they are.
Well, that's what they've created.
They haven't created not needing that experience yet, and therefore they have it. I've spent a lifetime creating myself to be a person who doesn't need negative experiences to teach me.
Mm-hmm.
I've created myself into being a person who can create on the whole positive experiences. And what I feel I'm doing is, in the process, I am glorifying the universe and God. I am exhibiting and I am proving and I am, acting as universe / God in my godlike expression. And it really is. I think things in this house, and 2 days later I get an email that is the exact answer to that or something like that. And it happens all the time and it happens all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And things that involve money and things that don't. When I attracted those 2 six-figure windfalls, I was literally living in an attic room with one window all the way down at one end, and I didn't even know how to type. I had never used a computer. I had nothing except for a telephone and letters if I wanted to, you know, contact the outside world. And I attracted the 2 six-figure windfalls. So I last time we were on the show, I heard last night when I was listening, I talked about how me and a traveling female companion of mine were stuck in the middle of the desert in the middle of the night, and both being psychic, we knew we were in a lot of trouble. You know, the car had stalled out, and that trouble, danger, was coming towards us pretty rapidly on that lonely two-lane highway, and that through sheer force of will, I closed the lid, and I said, "We're getting in that car, I'm turning the key, and we're driving out of here right now." And she said, okay, because she didn't doubt me one bit. And I had never been more sure of anything in my life. There was absolutely no way, after everything freezing up and the steering wheel locking and me just barely being able to get off the road, when I got in that car, I had absolutely no doubt that the universe, that that car was going to start. The universe didn't want me there, didn't want us there when what was coming came.
Mm-hmm,
you see,
mm-hmm.
So we can develop ourselves. It's almost like two camps, and each can be extreme. But we can develop ourselves into people who just let everything unfold because we think it's our experience, and whatever happens, happens, and I'm happy anyway. And the other camp that says these desires I have, I need to work towards them. I need to fulfill them because if not, I will never have peace. I will always wonder what if. I've done many things. I moved to Burbank after years of studying acting in San Diego on and off to try the acting thing, to live it, to breathe it, you know, to do student films, to go on auditions, to get coaching and go to more classes. I finally found out it wasn't for me. If I hadn't done that in my early 30s, I'd still be wondering. We had this dream to live on an island. Finally, you know, and just eat fruit and lay in the sun. Well, we finally moved to Hawaii and ended up on Kauai for 5 months. And going there thinking we had to get jobs, but the money coming in a miraculous way where I actually quit my job to move there hoping to get a job because I was going on my credit cards literally, and all this money came in right before we went where we had a 5-month vacation on Kauai and a little bit on Oahu and realized that, no, first of all, we don't want to live on an island. That isn't what I want. And the second thing is, I never want to come back to Hawaii again. There's a lot of reasons for that, but I'd had my fill. If I hadn't done that, I would always be wondering at the end of my life, what if I would have tried the acting thing? What if I would have moved to an island?
That wondering is all ego. Wondering is all ego. Wondering. anyway, that's my opinion. That's my opinion. Because you don't have to get to the end of your life and wonder what if. You don't have to do that. You don't have to. You don't have to get to the end and have regrets. But anyway, yeah. You know what? We're more alike than we are. I totally understand what you're saying. I totally do. I have a question. When is the last time, if you want to answer it, you don't have to answer it. When is the last time you were irritated or angry or upset or moody or any of that stuff? Does that ever happen?
Okay, so we're all human beings.
Right,
I know. I'm a human being, and I live in an ego mind.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was, if I raise myself sufficiently into the godhood state, this everything that I see here would vanish from me because I would effectively wake up, not in the dream. Right now I consider myself to be awake within the dream, but I would wake up from the dream, and there is a huge difference, and I've had glimpses of what that is like.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I have the experience of watching this human body go through its interactions with people and all of that, and then sometimes a reaction may start, but it immediately ends. In other words, it doesn't go anywhere because
mm-hmm,
I've already trained
mm-hmm.
myself to see that this is not the way. As soon as I see this person, this human being, this plop of flesh
mm-hmm.
that I think is me, that
mm-hmm.
I believe I have a name and I'm a person and I exist, I don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't exist. I am a dream of myself. I am a dream character in my own dream. And even that which is dreaming that does not exist. So, yes, the dream character will react at times. But the proof of the over-self is that those reactions will be very short-lived and that the person will thusly not feed those things they find irritating. Therefore, they will not feed their strength into them. Therefore, those things will dissolve. But without at least having the first little tinge of, I would rather this not be happening right now. See,
mm-hmm.
I could evolve into a person who just says, oh, this person wants to do this, that, kick mud in my face, pull my wife's hair, or whatever. I'm not married, but, you know, whatever. Well, let's just see how spiritual I can be and watch it. Oh, he's punching her in the face.
No.
He's trying to rip her purse,
no.
And now he's
no,
stopping.
No, we don't need to go to that extreme. We don't, not
this
an
is,
extreme
but this,
example.
I know,
not
but it, the truth is harsh. When a person really wants to say, you know, well, I just sit back and I just know that this is whatever and I won't be attached to it. Try not to be attached while somebody is trying to pull your child into a car. Try not to. And people, oh, I don't want to hear that. It's too negative. I don't want those pictures in my mind. And I say, yeah, but your premise has flaws in it, because try to tell me that you would just watch your child be taken and think, well, I'm totally unmoved by that because I'm spiritual. I don't think that holds up. At least it doesn't hold up for me in my life. And I don't judge things as good or bad or right or wrong. I always tell people I never judge things as good, bad, right or wrong, but I do make a very firm judgment as far as desired or undesired. And as a participating, active expression of the universe, I get to decide what is desirable and undesirable in my life and in the lives of those around me to the degree that I can affect those. I believe the universe is always trying to move towards the desirable. It's always trying to move towards peace, not war.
That's
abundance,
right.
Not lack and poverty. And when we get in that flow of that,
we only have a minute left, but there is no lack or poverty in the universe. That's not even a universal, aren't even universal terms.
No,
lack
but there
or
isn't
poverty.
There is an illusion of lack and poverty in the human being's experience.
Yes,
no, it doesn't exist. Absolutely doesn't exist.
Right.
But
there is an illusion because
right.
the ego. And I'm not hating on the ego, but the ego.
But if
creates,
we are experiencing it, it's as if it's real. It's as if it's real because we are experiencing it.
That's an individual thing because.
But it's also a judgment call. I know a guy who's homeless who literally lives under bushes and stuff out of a backpack by choice for 9 or 10 years now. and he does not feel deprived. He doesn't feel poor.
That's
so
right.
Somebody else that was in that situation would feel poor. So it's not about how much you do have or don't have.
That's right.
It's about how you feel about it, and is that desirable to you? If yes, fine. If not, then you have the means to change it, and I would argue that the universe wants you to change it. It wants you to move more in the direction of your inner promptings and drives and desires. And it, how do you tell if it's from the universe or from ego? If it's from ego, it disregards for the large part what happens to other people in the process of getting what you want. And if it's from the universe, no matter how you slice it, dice it, or look at it, inside out and upside down, it blesses everyone that will be touched by it. And that's how you know. And when you do know, then you can move confidently in that direction and add your physical body and your human mind and your hands and your mouth and your ears into the process of participating in the illusion, in the dream, with the universe to make it a better dream, not only for yourself, but for everyone. See, we have to improve the dream greatly until it finally disappears. We can't go from, it's like right now, look at the state of the planet. Look at the state of, you know, wars and all of this all over the place. I haven't watched television in over 300 and something days, so I don't even know what's going on out there anymore. I don't even care as much. It's all the same story, recycled decade after decade after decade, only the names and faces change. You want to know what the human soul is? You want to know what the hearts and minds of people are? You want to know how far we've evolved? Then just look at the planet. Just look at the news. Just look at what's going on.
And so what are you saying? What's going on is not good?
I'm saying that when you get into a high enough frame of reference, you'll see that it's all good. Buddha said that if you knew how perfect things were, you'd throw your head back and laugh at the sky.
That's right.
That's a wonderful thing. But when enough people do that, then we won't be seeing people slaughtered on battlefields. We won't be seeing corporations poisoning people, you know, and calling it health food, you know, targeting your children with poisonous chemicals to start their day with because it's all, you know, bright colors and has a cartoon animal on the box and all of these self-serving
Okay. Well, we're going to listen. This, you know what? This has to be maybe a part three because I don't look out at the world and see the same thing that you see. I don't look out and see. Yes, and I know there are things that are other people would judge and call undesirable or whatever you want to call it. But I don't look out and see that because the universe looks at everything and doesn't interrupt. And doesn't try to stop it and sees everything as all good and everything is in order. And everything is in order. It's just like parts of a tree. You know, a tree is blooming and there are the roots and there are the leaves and there are the fruit and there are the limbs and the trunk. So it's all part of this beautiful picture, all of it, even the part where humans, the ego, looks and says there's something wrong. And with that... And with that said, thank you for this spirited conversation. Do you remember the date of our first show? Do you remember the date?
Do you remember the month? I wrote it down. It was 6 months ago, and it was 8/3/13.
Okay, perfect. So I want to let my audience know 8/3/13 for our first show. Our first interview, and this second one is a little bit, you know, we just got a little, listen, I love giving my audience a broad perspective. Everyone, even people that are listening may not agree with me, may not agree with you, maybe have their own philosophies, because I don't pretend to know all the answers. I don't pretend to, this is the way it is. But I definitely know what feels good for me, and I can't pretend to know what feels good for anyone else. Woo! James Goy Jr., let everyone know where they can find you. We're at the end of the hour. We're actually going on a couple minutes more. Let everyone know where they can find you.
Right. Very simply, jamesgoijr.com, and they can sign up for my free monthly Mind, Power, and Money e-zine there, and they can find my book, How to Attract Money Using Mind Power. Everything can be done through the website, and thank you so much for what has been one of the most exhilarating conversations on the air that I've had in a long time. Because when somebody just agrees with every single thing you said, I'm not sure it's good. But when you get to have to defend, and I think you probably felt this too, when you're defending your own points of view and actually trying to make a case for them, that's a little different than saying, well, here's what I believe, and the other person says, oh, yes, so do I always have. That's a little different of an experience. They're both good, but I really like this because I think that it brought out a lot of things that just would not have come out otherwise. And I went deeper in certain things than I would not have gone otherwise.
Yeah, and you know, I have to say that I am open to your suggestion of the outer and the inner and not making a distinction between them. I'm going to ponder on that. I'm going to ask the universe for assistance on that because it tweaked me internally, and I know that, listen, I'm always evolving, I'm always growing, I'm always coming up with different things that the universe brings to me. So I'm going to ask the universe, "Hey, was he right about that, universe?" And then he'll give me the answer in a day or two, or maybe even sooner than that. But I love that you stimulated even me with that. So thank you again, James. What a great conversation. And I believe that my listeners and all the people that you know around the world that will be listening to this. Isn't that what life is all about, contrast? And who wants to listen to something that, well, okay, yes, and like I said before, other people will have their own point of view and their own truth and their own beliefs and their own opinion. And so I love you for that, and thank you for being such a cool guy. And you know why we got along so great? Because we both are universal, and we both have the same intention, and that is to inspire, motivate, uplift, share with all of the things that we've learned. And we just want people to have all of the information, as much information as possible. Our agenda is the same.
Yes, I really agree with that. And, you know, I think that it's good to challenge our assumptions, and we can see if they hold up and we can modify them as we go along, and that's part of the process of life and of growing spiritually. And I think we really did that to a good degree today.
Yes. Thank you so much, James, for being on the show. Thank you so much. Okay, everybody. Woo-wee. That was Reality Spirituality, and you remember that Reality Spirituality is heard every Saturday and every Sunday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you like more information on the coaching programs I offer, you can visit my website at RebeccaNorrington.com. Go to the Private Sessions tab, and if you'd like to receive my free monthly newsletter, please, you can email me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. And if you've enjoyed the show, go to Facebook and like Reality Spirituality's Facebook page. I want you to remember who the hell you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving, you're always changing, and you're always growing. Love is patient and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. Let's connect again next week, and you've been listening to Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
I love tea, spirituality.
It's the newest spirit. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one,
man.
You got a question for RLN?
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality, spirituality.
Oh, now we get real. Good now.
Get real.